Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is taken from the epistle for today. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. This is our text. One time when I was serving on a synod convention committee, a missionary who had been working in India came and spoke to us about a resolution that was being drawn up, and he said some startling things. He said that our church should not try to be too precise and clear in making statements about the mission of the church and the spiritual condition of the heathen. It is better, he thought, to be more ambiguous about what you mean, because then you don't needlessly turn people off and you can have a more friendly and open discussion. And he also stated that we cannot say that the heathen who have not heard the gospel are lost. I wasn't sure I had heard him right, but another committee member who was there assured me that I had, and he too was disturbed about it. I mention this incident only to introduce the topic of St. Paul's teaching of the mission of the Christian church. Paul is clear and blunt. And he says, if you confess with your lips the faith that Jesus is Lord, the faith that believes in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, this Lord, Jesus Christ, will be saved. But how are they to call upon him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe on him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? This is the sending, the mission in which the church takes part. The church's mission flows out of Christ's mission. God sent his Son into the world to redeem the world. He died on the cross to reconcile sinners to their God. And he rose victoriously from the dead. And then he gave his followers a mission command, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. And so the church is caught up in the mission of God. The church and its proclaimers are sent to us with the good tidings, and then we, through faith, become the church and send out proclaimers of the good news to those who need to hear and call upon the Lord. For God wants all to know the truth and to live in fellowship with him forever. He gives the good news of the Savior to the church, and through the church, he sends proclaimers of this news to the world. Those who will be placed this morning are also caught up in this mission, this great mission of God. It's a mission to the whole world. Those who do not have faith in Christ are lost. And how shall they believe if they have not heard? Hear Paul talking to the Ephesians about the time before they had heard the gospel. You were lost. You were dead in trespasses and sins. All need to be told of their lost condition and of the wondrous grace of God in Christ, on whom all are invited to call. This invitation has been endlessly repeated in countless places upon the earth. To take one vivid example, it was spoken powerfully by David Zeisberger, the missionary to the American Indians in Pennsylvania and Ohio. We hear of him setting out on foot, he and his companions, and beautiful were their feet, and welcome their coming, as they brought the good news of peace with God. But not everyone thought so, like the old Indian chief, who questioned him, where is the pale face going? To visit the Indians. I bring good and great words to the Indians. What words? The words of life. I teach the Indians to believe, and by believing to be saved. Are these not good words? No, these are not good words for the Indians. My friend, answer me. Are the Indians not human beings? Are they not to be saved? But how shall they be saved unless they hear of their Savior. Echoes of St. Paul here. And in the long conversation, this chief told of some fierce Indians down the river. They bear a very bad character and will not hesitate to kill you. Are they very wicked? Then that's just the reason why I ought to go and preach to them. And some days later, the missionary stood before these fierce and murderous men of which he had been told and addressed them. My friends, we have come to bring you great words and glad tidings, words from our God and your God, from our Redeemer and your Redeemer. We have come to tell you that you will be happy if you believe in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and gave his life for you. These great words and glad tidings we have presented to your friends on the Susquehanna. They have received them. They are happy. They thank the Savior that he has brought them from darkness to light. And now we bear to you the peace of God. The time is here. The visitation of God, your Creator, who as man died for you. You are no longer to live in darkness without him. You are to learn to know him, and to know him is life and peace. Do not say in your hearts, these doctrines are not for us. We are not made to receive them. I tell you, Jesus Christ died for me, for you, for all men. You too are called. And called to life eternal. Later, he wrote of the impression made by his words as repentance and faith came about. He said, "Never yet did I see so clearly depicted in the faces of Indians both the darkness of hell and the world-subduing power of the gospel." There's a famous painting of this very scene, of which I have a small and fuzzy reproduction here. But even in this, you can see the reactions on the faces of the hearers. They and many other Indians under Zeisberger's preaching were baptized and formed churches. They fondly regarded him as their friend who had brought them the good news of life and peace. But the emphasis belongs not on the preachers and proclaimers, but rather on the message which they had been sent, which they are sent to proclaim. It has the power of God to create faith in its words. Not all who hear the words come to faith in them, but these words do have the power to bring about faith. What God wants with all his fatherly heart is for lost sinners to hear his word and to live in fellowship with him. That's shown us in the text, in the last two verses. The Hebrew noun in the Isaiah passage, Shemua, is derived from the verb for hear, and the same is true of the Greek translation, which Paul uses here, akoue. And that's Paul's takeoff point for what he says next. The Revised Standard Version is not always satisfactory, but the old RSV did well here in showing the links in the apostles' thought about the importance of hearing in God's mission to the lost world. Listen to how he says it. Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the preaching of Christ. God is in his word, acting and working. Some are brought to him in faith, and others resist. So Paul goes on to quote more from Isaiah, where God says, "I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." Here God was reaching out in his word, the prophetic word. He still reaches out in his word. Amen.